Growing up, I gained a lot of appreciation for our beautifully created world from my time in the Scouts. Camping, hiking, learning about the trees and the plants and the animals, I have said it before and I will say it again. We need more children experiencing the great outdoors if we want a chance at saving our planet. You don't know what you're losing if you haven't been out there enjoying it. Amidst all of my outdoor time, from sleeping in snow caves to setting up camp in the rain, from cooking over a campfire to building structures out of lash lumber, the culmination of my hiking and backpacking experiences was a week at the Philmont Scout Ranch. Michael, that's a knowing nod. This global backpacking destination for scouts has been cherished for generations. In fact, my dad had actually backpacked there when he was a young scout, so I'd grown up hearing stories all about this, waiting for the year I would be old enough to get to go. The neat thing was, he actually got to go with me on that trip. He was one of our assistant scoutmasters, and so we went and we were there, an amazing father-son experience shared as we hiked some 100 miles over the course of a week. While backpacking through the vast hundreds of square miles of nature, every scout who goes takes time to offer some service to the land on which you're experiencing this wonder. Our group was actually tasked with building a new section of trail. Well, a new-ish trail. You see, side by side were two already existing trails. There was an old decommissioned trail from the camp's earliest days that they'd sort of tried to cover with logs, blocking it off, and some slow growth had started return to this hard, packed, time-traveled surface. And next to it was the current trail that had been in service for a few decades itself, obviously the one we were using, and next to it, we were to build a third trail that was going to be for future use. As we finished our section of this soon-to-be trail, I looked at these three parallel paths. One deeply worn, this overgrown rut. One heavenly trodden, an active trail. And one fresh path not yet traveled. It was this weird moment when I realized that most likely my dad had walked in that first trail on his first trip there. Together, we were walking on that second trail, and at the time, I thought, if I ever have kids, maybe they're going to get to come back and walk on the one that we just built. Each path, unique to its own time, yet each and every path moving in tandem with the one next to it, taking its lead and guidance from where others had been. The existence and the experience of the paths before, shaping the paths that would come after. This moment of building trails has shaped my understanding and my love for the scripture found in Jeremiah 6. Hear the prophet speak. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. For you will find rest for your souls. As we begin this season of creation, a time we take as a congregation to reflect on the care and stewardship of creation, our sermon series is entitled, Look for the Ancient Paths. In this time together this month, we will look to our scriptures to ground us in faith. We will also look to research and data to ground us in the current global reality that we live in. We will also look to one another to help us as a community make changes for the good. Now, since very early this year, I knew that I wanted to discuss a specific topic during Season of Creation. I knew that I wanted to talk about single-use products as a focus of our conversation for Season of Creation. Maybe you've heard this term used more and more often, single-use products. These are items that we use once and discard at great environmental cost and impact. This is important. We have to do something about this, but I didn't have a spiritual angle. I knew it bothered me and I wanted to talk about it, but I didn't know how to make it church. I mean, we're not the Sierra Club here. We're not just here to talk about the environment for the sake of talking about the environment. We're a community of faith. We're rooted in the history of our tradition while being drawn forward by the living Spirit of God. We come to conversations about the environment. We come to conversations about environmental care and being good stewards of all that God has given. We come to these conversations with a divine mandate. God is clear. From humanity's first moment, God spoke and said, "This is the world I have created. It is good, and it's yours to care for." God still speaks these words to us today. Even Jesus is clear. Jesus is so clear in naming that nature is as meaningful as it is beautiful. The references to life all around us, that was Jesus' go-to point of reference. He asks us to consider the lilies of the field, the way things grow and are cared for. So how to approach single-use products? Well, mostly plastic products these days. I mean, think about all the straws and the plastic silverware that just get used once and thrown away. There's a great quote at the top of your bulletin from an amazing documentary where it says, "Why do we make things we're only going to use for a few minutes out of something that's going to last forever?" It's a good question. How to make it church? Well, the answer came to me on Earth Day. I saw a video about the incredible waste and impact of my fancy 7-blade ninja razor. You know, that little fancy fusion glide, multi-blade, mock turbo, whatever they're calling it these days. There's always a new one I have to buy, apparently, and they keep jacking the price up. And it's this little metal and plastic tiny thing inside of another plastic box that comes inside of another plastic container that comes inside of another shrink wrap thing. Yeah. The video quantified the wasted plastic and the steel that could have been recycled but is no longer able to because it's in these tiny little cartridges. And it started quantifying how much waste that is, and it asked a very simple question. Could you shave like your grandpa shaved? This was the question. The video asked me if I would shave like my grandpa. Here it is. Literally, in my case, a double-edged safety razor has a permanently reusable handle, and its only waste is a tiny, thin piece of recyclable steel. So I switched. I called up my dad, and I said, "Hey, you used to use one of those, like, old-school razors, right?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Do you have it?" And so he looked around and looked around. He's like, "I couldn't find the handle, but I'm sorry." I was like, "Oh." He goes, "But I did find your grandpa's, if you'd be interested." And I was like, "Yes! I mean, not to sound too excited, I can't use yours, but grandpa sounds great." This was actually my grandfather's razor, handed down to him, that he used. So this thing is just about to turn 100. Shaving with my grandfather's razor took me back to those trails. It took me back even further to Jeremiah, as suddenly I heard echoing in my mind this invitation to look for the ancient ways. You know, the only reason people quit shaving this way was a perceived convenience. I say perceived convenience very intentionally. Many of our leaps forward in how we live and function every day, they appear to be convenient to those of us in the moment. But only because we're looking simply at the immediate gratification of our own ease in that specific moment. I mean, I get not messing with razor blades and not having to manually adjust the shaving angle around the contours of your face may seem convenient in the moment, but when the landfill is overflowing with unnecessary waste and packaging, when Flipper and the whales are out choking on plastic, clogging our ocean, when we can't breathe because the air quality has been depleted by mass production facilities, the convenience doesn't seem quite to be as significant anymore. Now, this isn't just about razors. Look at almost any single-use product you can think of, and there used to be a more environmentally friendly option it replaced because we didn't want to wash or clean or reuse or store or share something. So instead, we made it out of plastic. As people, we are sacrificing our long-term well-being for the immediate gratification of a perceived convenience. So today, we're going to take a few steps together on an older path. I'm inviting us to walk older paths together. 500 million plastic straws are used every single day in the United States. Just in the U.S., 500 million. These discarded beverage delivery systems are but a small part of the billion pounds of plastic thrown away every single day in our country. But we can do something. You see, before people walked the plastic straw path, they used to walk the paper straw path. And before that, actually, there was just the no straw, drink from the cup, that's what it was meant for path. But somewhere along the line, someone got the idea, now that we've become accustomed to, I need a straw, that we instead could drink from something reusable. Perhaps you've seen steel straws floating around on the internet or in conversation with others. Today, we're sending every single one of you home with a steel straw. It can be washed and reused indefinitely. And if for some reason you ding it up, bang it up, and it's trash, well, no, it's not trash because it's fully recyclable if it does for some reason reach the end of its life. So we're going to send you home with these, and if you find yourself out and about, if you're stopping by Starbucks, you can simply say, "No straw, please." And you pull this out, you put it in, and suddenly we've made a small difference. But plastic straws aren't the only perceived convenience we make use of when we're out of about. Plastic silverware is also a major problem. You see, a while back, instead of washing and reusing metal silverware, someone decided we should instead be handed a plastic piece of silverware already inside of a plastic bag as well. Here, enjoy your meal. So instead of that, we want to offer those of you who would like to make that change an opportunity. For those of you who really want to minimize your impact, we have bamboo silverware sets. The University of Boston Theological School handed this to me as a giveaway at some convention I was at, and I fell in love with it. The first time I went to a restaurant and they were about to hand me plasticware, and I was like, "No, I have my own." They were like, "You have what?" I was like, "Look, see? There's everything. Chopsticks, fork, knife, spoon, the whole bit." And I use it, and I put it back in this little bag, and I washed it when I got home, and I've been reusing it every time since. So, fork, knife, spoon, chopsticks, the whole thing made from sustainable bamboo, and the little carrying case is actually made of recycled water bottles. So here's the deal. We were only able to get 100 sets of this silverware with our budget, but we got it really cheap because we bought in bulk. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a little Facebook contest. I've never done a Facebook contest before. I'm very excited. Anyone who posts a picture of themselves using their steel straw out and about in the world, not just at your kitchen table, come on, work with me here. Out and about in the world, whether it's in your Starbucks cup or at a restaurant or on a neighbor's patio, whatever, if you'll take a picture of it and post it, I want you to tag the church. That means you have to go and like us on Facebook, and then when you're making your little post, you just put the at symbol and start typing Highlands, and it'll pop up, and you can be like, "Yes, them." And it'll tell us you posted this picture, and then you get to pick. You can either pick out one of these nice sets of bamboo silverware, or, thanks to some dear friends, we also have these really cool mason jar lids. Wait, let me make sure the C is the right direction. That turn a mason jar into a reusable, straw-friendly cup. Mason Jar Lifestyle is a wonderful local company. And by local, I mean like sitting in the front row local company. You gotta love that. So, use your straw, take a picture, so that you're sharing and telling folks that they can make this difference too. And then you get to pick if you want to turn your mason jar into a cup, or if you think, "I'll actually use this silverware because I'm out and about." We would love to get you these things. Non-Facebook people, come talk to me. We're not going to leave you out. Now, there's also one more little change we're going to make today. Ashley, would you grab the trays, please? Remember how I talked about convenience sometimes moving us from the ancient path to something less beneficial? Today is going to be our very first Sunday using compostable communion cups. You can't tell the difference. If I hadn't said anything, you'd be like, "What? They're just cups." But see, back in the day, Highlands United Methodist Church used to use glass communion cups. And then a nice team of people would gather them all together, look for any ones that had been chipped or broken, remove them, then hand wash every single one of them, gently put them back. You can see where they were like, "Wait, there's plastic ones now? Yes, let's get off of this path and onto something new." Well, that means every single year, hundreds and hundreds of these tiny plastic cups are getting thrown away from this place. That's not who we are. So as of today, if you choose the little cups, when you put them in the basket, they're going straight out to the compost bin, and they're going to be somebody's dirt in just a few months. These are some of the things we can do. These are some of the things we can look at together. You see, as we remember and celebrate God's love shown in Jesus during communion today, we will also be showing love for the planet as we do so. Now, I want to ask you one more thing. I have, for lack of a better word, some homework for you. You see, in addition to using your steel straw and posting a picture to earn some bamboo silverware or a cool mason jar lid, I need you to do something for me. I need you to get biblical. I need you to hear and heed the words of Jeremiah. I want you to hear this invitation to look for the ancient ways. Look at your life. Where are some of the places we might have chosen convenience over the care of creation? And what changes can we make together? Let's take some time this week and look for those ancient ways, for they are good. Amen.